If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, let's talk about that. In fact, some of the jurisprudential laws or Islamic laws of miscellaneous nature, according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei from this episode, inshallah, onwards. Let me begin with this question. A person does not know how many missed prayers or qada prayers he owes since, for example, reaching puberty. This happens to many people because they are either unaware that they are, for example, they have reached legal maturity age or puberty age, basically, or because of any good reasons, for example, they have not been able to do it, or they've been, for example, unaware, for example, religiously speaking, in fact.
Yes.
Because of this or his obsession, he considers a large number, for example, all right? I'm talking about that particular individual. And this has caused him not to perform qada prayers at all. So what is his duty?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, it suffices that a person performs the number of prayers that he is certain he has missed. He does not have any duty regarding the doubtful number.
Right.
Yeah. In Islamic jurisprudence, taklif or obligations are not binding when certainty certainty does not exist, and it is binding, and the obligations are binding when certainty does exist. When one is unsure of the exact number of missed prayers, he is required to compensate only for the certain amount, not for what is doubtful or imagined. Okay, and this actually prevents waswas, or what we call obsessive religious anxiety. You know, Islam is strongly against this obsession, or what you call, OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder,
yes,
which many people are suffering from, mm-hmm, and which is condemned in Islamic jurisprudence. And the scholars have always advised their followers not to give heed to their doubt or to their obsession, because it's a huge, it causes a lot of burden. If a person is sure that he has missed around 10 days of prayer since puberty, that's what he is sure about, okay? But suspects it could be more, it could be 12 days, it could be 15 days or 20 days, okay, he only needs to make up 10 days, not more. Okay, this is what the Islam religious authorities have, in fact, said. Mm-hmm. An excessive estimation based on doubt has no legal weight,
yes,
in Islam. Mm-hmm. He should begin his qada gradually and sincerely without falling into any kind of obsession or perfectionist scruples.
Yes.
Yes. Like, you can never get rid of your doubt and obsession unless you ignore your doubt and give the benefit of the doubt to yourself.
I see. And mind you, Islamic laws are all actually for the facilitation of life,
sure,
not to make the life actually harder for
Hard.
Us.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's have a break, and then when we come back, we continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, the host in this program, and Sheikh Chavida, our guest speaker. We are dealing with some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Chavida, it happens that a person who resides in Tehran or a city, for example, with the intention of permanent or long-term residence,
right?
But abandoning there or, you know, he lived there for some reason after a short period of time, of course, with the intention of residing in Tehran again and after a long period of time. So what's the ruling vis-a-vis prayers and fasting in Tehran until he begins to reside there again? Is Tehran considered his hometown?
Yes, that's a good question. Well, in the said case, Tehran is not considered to be his hometown, his watan. Right? Therefore, without the intention of staying for 10 days, the prayers are shortened and the fast is not valid. The legal status of watan, what we call hometown, depends on continuous residence and intention. Once a person abandons a place and leaves it for a long duration, even if he intends to return someday, sooner or later, it loses its watan status, its very status as a hometown, until he resides there again with the intention of permanent or long-term stay. In that case, of course, in the second case, of course, he that city, it could be any city, whether you it is Tehran or any other city, depending on what the city you are living. So when a person visits Tehran temporarily, his travel rulings apply. He must pray in qasr 2 units instead of 4, and his fasting is invalid unless he plans to remain for at least 10 days. In the given case, in the example you gave, because a person stays there and yes, temporarily, and then he leaves and then decides to come back, maybe he'd leave longer. Of course, in that very case, that city does not become his hometown. And of course, when he returns to live there permanently, Tehran once again becomes his hometown, his watan.
I see. Thank you for the answer. In our city, somebody asked, it is customary for the close relatives of the deceased person to invite people to a fatwa gathering or ceremony and the service of the meal. Is this custom lawful, legal, legitimate, and is it considered against the Islamic laws?
Well, we do see that such a thing does happen in our city and town, and people, the people who have lost a close relative, give other people who visit them for condolence. They give them a meal because they come from far and flung areas. So that is the custom. If it is done in accordance with the Shara, such as respecting the rights of minor heirs, it is not considered against Shara. Of course, eating in their house is makruh. It's a matter of consensus. It is in the house of the person who has lost a relative is undesirable, it is abominable, it's disliked. And it's mustahab to send them food for 3 days instead of going to that person's house and eat a meal in there, right?
Yes, sure.
Islam, in fact, encourages comforting the bereaved family.
Yes.
Yes. not burdening them.
Mm.
Yes, the makruh or the discouraged aspect of eating in the mourner's house is because it places additional financial and emotional pressure or burden on the grieving family. Yes, it is a matter of fact.
Yes.
And of course, that grieving family who may feel obligated to provide the food, okay?
Yes.
The Sunnah recommends that the neighbors or relatives send food to the household of the deceased for 3 days, not the other way around, actually.
Right.
However, if the gathering and meal are organized voluntarily without misuse of inheritance or undue hardship, it is lawful. There's nothing wrong with it, okay? But it is still makruh to eat in that deceased family's or grieving family's house.
Right.
The key principle is compassion in avoiding social show and extravagance in the in mourning rituals. Yes. All of this should be avoided.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah, thank you very much. And my personal experience tells me that some of the regions in Iran, it's a very good custom that they have actually formed a kind of fund on the part of the mosque. And usually the mosque is in charge of it. That kind of public fund, regional fund, relieving the bereaved families
from
cooking or giving any kind of service because they're already in trouble. Right?
Yeah, you are
so
right.
They have lost dear ones, so they shouldn't be actually worrying about, for example, cooking food or giving any kind of service or for example, to somebody else, even if they are close friends.
It is necessary for people around the grieving family to give them solace, to give them comfort.
Yeah.
That's encouraged.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Let's actually have a short break, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Don't go away.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Javad Hossein's program, and Shirtavid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, this happens to many people while they are walking on the sidewalk or in the street. They find something.
Right.
All right? Well, if I find something which is worth less than 2.5 grams... of silver.
Right.
All right. Can I take it for myself?
That's a good question. Well, if the owner is unknown and remains to be unknown and there's no way to find, of course, you can take it for yourself. This is based on the ruling of Luqata. Luqata is an Arabic word which means lost and found property. Lost and found property. Mm. Okay?
Yes.
When an item's value is very low, it is, for example, less than 2.5 grams of silver, right? And the owner is unknown, one may take possession of it without announcing without making announcement, okay? There's no obligation of making any announcement when the value of a lost and found property is, in fact, less than 2.5 grams. This is because the law assumes the owner has likely abandoned such a trivial item, okay? But if one can reasonably identify or locate the owner, returning it remains mustahab.
Right.
You know, it's commendable to return that found property.
Okay, thank you very much, Javid. Thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio, in which we try to deal with some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. With me, Mohammad Javad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, and rest crew, wish you a well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun.
تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو